Appreciate your prayers again this afternoon. Like to pick up the Lord's help where we left off in the fourth chapter of the book of John, considering a new and living way. John chapter 4. Samaritan woman that met Jesus at the well. The Lord dealing with her right where she was. She was amazed to find that Jesus knew so much about her. Jesus knew her past. He knew her marriage situation. He knew just what she needed, and he spoke to that in a way that no man had ever done. And she went and she told all the men in the community, "You've got to come see this person who told me everything that ever I did." So I'd like to pick up here in the 19th verse of the fourth chapter of John. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Again, as we mentioned this morning, there was a debate between the Samaritans and the Jews about where they were to worship, the place that they considered to be their holy site. Was it in Jerusalem or was it in this mountain that we are to worship the Lord? He said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Many religions of the world today place a lot of emphasis on where you worship the Lord. On a holy site, a holy city, a building that's considered to be a sacred location, on perhaps a pilgrimage that you would take to this holy site. I've been on airlines that are based in the Middle East. They have a Muslim prayer that they offer over the speaker of the plane before you take off. And they have throughout the flight on the map, on the screen there, an arrow that's pointing the way to Mecca. So that you can pray towards Mecca, regardless of where you are and what direction you're flying, because it's important to them. They believe that that is the holy site, the holy city that they are to pray towards. And they do that very devoutly, praying towards Mecca. But Jesus is telling the woman here, in other words, you're missing it. It's not about this mountain or that location. That's not what true worship of the Lord is. And we, in talking about this new and living way, discussed about how it's not about the surroundings around us. It's not about holy relics or things that we surround ourselves with. That's not how we worship the Lord in this new and living way. The Lord puts the worship down within us. He seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth is from the heart. I'm thankful that it's not about holy relics or holy water or a holy place. And it's not about this building and the decoration of it and how ornate it was. We think about what Solomon had built for the Lord. And it was well known to be a beautiful building, beautiful location, because he felt God worthy of that. But I wonder if we could maybe sing a couple verses of a song, number 99. Begin, sing the first two verses if we could.
Take this for our Lord.
Yes, thank the Lord. It's a beautiful picture to realize that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwelleth within us. It's not about the temple that we go into. No more, another one of the verses said, no more I think of God afar, but I see thee, Lord, within. You know, I know I've thought for myself in reading some of the stories of the Old Testament. When I hear about how the Lord came down and he spoke audibly through a bush, when he came and he spoke to Moses as a friend speaks face to face with a friend. And I thought that'd be nice. That'd be a wonderful experience to have. But you know, there's something better than that for us. There's a new and a living way that the scriptures talk about far exceeds the glory that we find under this old way. Whenever they could even hear the voice of God, and they could, Moses saw the hinder parts of God as he passed by. What an awesome experience. And yet to think, Moses was experiencing that with the seeing of his eyes and the hearing of his ear. And yet there's something within us that's even more precious and can be even more real unto us today. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The 18th verse says, you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Well, I want to get another scripture to go along with that in 2 Corinthians. The 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians and the 7th verse says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The Lord in this new and living way has given us something more than what we can see and touch and feel and hear with these ears. There's something that the Lord wants to put within us that's even, again, more precious and more personal. The things that we see, the scripture says, are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. That has, those things that we can see, as we mentioned this morning, have their limitations. There's only so far that you can experience and realize that. But the Lord has an abundance for every one of us. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. First Peter 1 and 8 says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because there's something that I've experienced and tasted of the presence of God that I haven't been able to see with these natural eyes. I can see Him in you. I can see His Spirit and His characteristics and the brethren. But I'm not able to see as this flesh wants to be able to see. It wants to be able to have things right before us that we can see and touch and hold. But this is not a way of sight. It's a way of faith. You remember what Jesus told unto Thomas? Thomas, having heard the report, said, this is what it's going to take. I'm going to have to see for myself, and I'm going to have to be able to touch for myself. And put my hands in the holes in his side and in his hands before I believe it. So the Lord came and he revealed himself unto Thomas and the rest. Thomas then could have nothing to say but, "My Lord and my God." I'm convinced. I am persuaded. But Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are they which have not seen and will yet believe." There is a blessing that extends to every one of us, though we don't have to have an experience that just depends on what we can see, touch, and feel. But there is a revelation of God within our hearts that speaks so much clearer to the heart of man. Romans, the 14th chapter, says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the nature of this kingdom that the Lord has come to give us in this new and living way. That it's not about the things that we see. It's not about how beautiful of a chapel we can erect and build, and that's what impresses the Lord. The Lord's not impressed with the work of our hands. Well, there's a scripture, I believe, that speaks directly to that, found in the 17th chapter of Acts. Acts 17 and verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. That's not what gains the approval of the Lord. And thank the Lord for it. That it's not only the groups that have the deepest pockets and are able to build the most ornate chapels where the presence of the Lord will come. You know, I'm thankful the presence of the Lord where two or three are gathered together in His name. If it's in a basement, if it's out in a barn somewhere, if it's driving down the road, where they're gathered together in His name, He said, "There I will be in the midst of them." I don't need a big ornate fancy building. The Lord says, I need you. That's what I want to dwell in. That's what I want to fill with my glory and my presence. He doesn't need those things. He made the world and all that is therein. He's not worshipped with men's hands. So what does the hand represent? It represents the things that we do, the things that we can make and the things that we can produce. Those aren't the things that get the attention of the Lord. Those aren't the things that gain His favor and His approval upon us. But it is those that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You can't manufacture that. You can't make that with your hands. This is a Bible study in and of itself, but there is a reason why we worship the Lord in the manner in which we worship the Lord. Folks, it is never to be about a display or a demonstration of the flesh. The Lord is not impressed by me taking on some title about myself or how important that He sees me. Quite contrary, the Lord is more impressed by, "To this man will I look, even to him that is humble and of a contrite heart." That's how we get the attention of the Lord. This is a new and a living way. That's not about the works of our hands. It's not about producing something that we can manufacture. There's been a whole transition now from an old and a dead way that, again, the scripture talked about. It wasn't that Jesus came finding fault with or to tear that down. But let me give you the power behind it. The things that represented, let me now fulfill that within you. That it's not about a temple you go into and only one man once a year that goes into that place. But let me give you access into the Holy of Holies. Let me give you access into that place for yourself. The things that the Lord looks upon, not the demonstration of the flesh. It's not the works of our hands. Those things that they did in the Old Testament were for a dispensation that were under the oldness of the letter. And the Lord came saying, "I want to fulfill." Don't cheapen what I want to do with you by my Spirit by holding on to the old things, by holding on to the old brass serpent. There's a reason why we don't come and offer incense when we come into the chapel. It doesn't get the Lord's attention. Do you know that's not to say there's anything wrong with incense? But when we're coming to do what is so solemn that we do, we're not here to entertain one another. We're not here just but we should be here because I want to come into the presence of the Lord. I want Him to talk to my heart. I want the Spirit to work freely among us as a congregation and within me. I don't want anything that might be able to get in the way. So there's nothing wrong with going home, and if you have a candle you like to burn in your house, burn it. You like to burn incense to get the aroma of it? That's for our pleasure. But it's not for the Lord's pleasure. There's a new and a living way. And again, I say this could be a study in and of itself. There's a reason why we don't use musical instruments in worship to the Lord. It's because there's a new and a living way. There was a place under the Old Testament where that was the means with which they made melody to the Lord. The means through which they worshiped the Lord. But He said, now let me tell you about a new and a living way, wherein He is not worshiped with men's hands. He can't be worshiped with the things we manufacture and the things we produce. The melody that we produce with our hands. There's something deeper than that. In this new and living way. And as I say of the incense, there's nothing wrong with the incense or the candle. But we can't expect to come into the presence of the Lord and worship to Him and gain His approval and say, beautifully played. But if we do it in our home, it's for our enjoyment. It's for our pleasure. But it's not for the Lord's pleasure. And I hope we understand the difference. The things that we do here together is not for our entertainment, for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. It is about, in every instance that we find in the New Testament that talks about worshiping the Lord, it says singing unto yourselves. In Psalms, as they would have had in the early morning church, the Psalms of David and the Psalms that were written and recorded, speak to yourselves in that. In spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hands unto the Lord from your heart. And it's the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I've been in places where I've observed a minister or somebody will stand in the pulpit and they want to make an emphatic point. They might move into the microphone a little bit and the music starts softly playing. And it adds an ambiance to it. It sets the tone to what's about to be spoken. Music does that. Music sets the tone. It can help set the mood of a thing or of the way that I'm feeling. This isn't me. It's the world. What kind of music they want to hear? Listen, it speaks to them and their place that they're in and the things that they're going through. Do you know, in a new and a living way, in spiritual worship to the Lord, that place is reserved for the Spirit of the Lord. It's not for the work of men's hands to be able to move the emotions of people, to be able to sway and influence as a melody can do by the playing of music. And I've heard prayers offered unto the Lord with music in the background that again helps, it's endeavoring to set this mood or this tone. It should never be the work of men's hands that sets the tone of our worship service. It's to be the Spirit of the Lord. And it is this melody now, it says, making melody in your hearts. That's as the Spirit of the Lord touches the heartstrings. There's a melody that comes out from it. There's a melody that's made that it's not about if we sing the most beautifully in perfect harmony. That's not the essence of it. But to be able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord from a heart that's been redeemed, is spiritual. This is the difference, the transition from an old and a dead way of relics and of things that you see and that you touch and that you hear, to it being translated down into the heart, to make music in a place that before music didn't exist. And so because it didn't, it was made externally to create this worshipful atmosphere unto the Lord. But in a new and living way, He doesn't, I believe, want us to cheapen the work of the Spirit within our assemblies and in our lives by substituting and accepting something that's a relic of the past. Thank the Lord for a new and a living way that goes beyond what we see and touch and feel, that is a spiritual worship unto the Lord. Blessed are they who they haven't seen, and yet they still believe. They're still persuaded of the things that the Lord has done for us, a dimension that is real, that an experience that can't be taken away from us. We talked about that kingdom that is not meat and drink. It's not about those outward expressions, but it's about the work of the Lord within our hearts. Daniel talked about that kingdom, prophesied of it, and said that it would be a kingdom that would never be removed, would never be destroyed, never be given to someone else. Because, as we've already mentioned this morning, how do you destroy that? You can take my life, you can put my eyes out, but you cannot take the joy that I feel down within my heart. Number 106 says, let scoffers scoff, let scorners sneer. My heart is full of peace. They cannot take the joy I feel, nor make my hope to cease. I know on whom my faith is fixed. His mercy has set me free. I know that He will safely keep, and His love is sweet to me. That's something that you can't take away from me, that cannot be moved now. You can come and burn this building, and you haven't destroyed the church of God. You can tear it down, and because you can't tear this down. You can take this body, you can destroy that, but you can't do anything to the soul and to the spirit. I'm thankful that there is a new and a living way that is a spiritual way. And it's the difference between the outward man and the hidden man of the heart, where our focus is to be in our lives. Not about the adornment of the outward man, but that of the inward man of the heart. It's not about the comfort and the ease of the outward man. It's not about the outward man's desire to see. Song said, heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. I want to see. I want to feel it. I want to be able to touch it. And the Lord doesn't work with us that way. There's something better that the Lord wants to get through to us. The world would look at it and, how do you call that better? You can't see it? Prove it to me. And oh, how abundantly the Lord has proven it to the heart of a child of God that has given themselves to Him. There is an undeniable truth and reality of the presence and the blessing and the working of the Spirit of the Lord within our lives that man can't take away. I thank the Lord again this morning for this new and this afternoon, this new and living way that He's made accessible unto every one of us. You pray for me.